What happens after the most significant event in human history? I'm Chris Montgomery, senior pastor at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and welcome to Fraser 365. Today we're in a study called Victory, a journey from the cross to Pentecost. Our prayer is that through God's Word, you'll come to a greater knowledge today of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and live in the victory of His resurrection power.
Welcome to Day 32 of From the Cross to Pentecost. Today's devotional is called My Rock, Refuge, and Fortress. Psalm 62:6 says, He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. Today's reading is from Psalm 31:1 through 5. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Some thoughts on today's reading. Psalm 31 is an important psalm as seen by those who quoted from it, Jonah, Jeremiah, and Jesus. This section of scripture is dominated by King David's concern to find refuge in God. Notice the theme displayed in the following related terms. Refuge, see verses 1, 2, and 4, rock, verses 2 and 3, and fortress, verses 2 and 3. For David, no matter how dire the situation, God is his solid ground, safe haven, and protective stronghold. These terms emphasize David's trust in God, which forms the foundation for this entire psalm. Gerald Wilson explains the theme of trust as follows. It is clear that to take refuge in the Lord constitutes a step of faith and trust in the face of a reality of threat, oppression, and suffering. To take refuge in Yahweh is to trust that Yahweh affirms the righteousness of the faithful and to hope confidently that He will indeed act to establish that essential righteousness publicly. That those who put their trust in Yahweh continue to suffer is the whole point of the Lament Psalms. The righteous cannot hope to avoid suffering and oppression from the hand of the wicked, but they face such suffering in full dependence that Yahweh's righteousness mirrors and affirms their own, and in trust that divine righteousness will ultimately fill the earth, revealing wickedness for what it is, and affirming the righteous who endure faithfully. This does not represent hope for a quick fix or pain avoidance, but is an example of aligning oneself with what is true and right, regardless of the painful consequences. James Montgomery Boyce shares the following comments on Psalm 31, 1-5, and highlights what these verses have meant to so many as follows. David says two things about God as his rock that have been described as illogical by some who know little of the life of faith. He says that God is his rock in verse 3, and yet asks God to be his rock in verse 2. How, such critics ask, can God be and yet be asked to be a refuge all at the same time? How little such critics know. Charles Haddon Spurgeon understood that this is a logic not of words, but of the heart, writing that it teaches us to ask God that we may enjoy and experience what we grasp by faith. We know by faith that God is many things because the Bible tells us He is. But this is a very different thing from proving God to be those things in our personal experience. Do you believe that God is all-powerful? Of course you do. Then pray that He will prove Himself strong in your weakness. Do you believe that God is wise? Of course. Then ask Him to display His wisdom in the ordering of your life. In the same way, you can ask Him to be to you loving and gracious and merciful and everything else the Bible says He is. You are blank, then be blank should be the prayer of every Christian, particularly in death. When David spoke the words that we find in the first half of verse 5, he was asking God to save his life from his enemies. But ever since Jesus used these words on the cross, saints everywhere have echoed them in asking God to receive their souls in death and so bear them safely to his presence. In other words, they have asked God to be to them in death what they have known him to be in life. One of the great commentators on this psalm, J.J. Stuart Perrone, points out that these were the last words of St. Bernard, John Huss, Jerome of Prague, Martin Luther, Philip Melanchthon, and many others. He quotes Luther as saying, "Blessed are they who die not only for the Lord as martyrs, not only in the Lord as all believers, but likewise with the Lord, as breathing forth their lives in these words, 'Into thy hands I commit my spirit.'" When Jan Hus was condemned to be burned at the stake, the bishop who conducted the ceremony ended with the chilling words, "And now we commit thy soul to the devil." Hus replied calmly, "I commit my spirit into thy hands, Lord Jesus Christ. Unto thee I commend my spirit, which thou hast redeemed." May David's words bring comfort to your soul as you place all your trust in God today. Some questions to consider. In what ways do you picture God as your rock? How is God your place of refuge? Finally, in what ways can God be your fortress and stronghold? Thanks for joining us today.